with me to our last message in the Advent series. Next week, Lord willing, we'll be back in the book of Revelation and be working on completing that in the near future. Message this morning, of course, is geared around the new year. The title of the sermon is Change is Possible. One of the things that keeps us from change is procrastination. Solomon wrote about that in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. And he writes, "My son, if thou be surely for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, and thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now," note the urgency, "do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go, humble thyself. And make sure thy friend, give not sleep to thy eyes, nor slumber to thy eyelids." Don't procrastinate. "Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler." And he says to the son, "Consider the ants, thou slugger. Consider her ways." The ants don't put off. They work hard. And hard work is important. And doing it in the proper timing. And then he says, and be wise. Let's pray. Father, may the Holy Spirit be our teacher. Hide me behind the cross. I know you have a message here for all of us, even if it doesn't apply to some, they can, as it were, let it fly. But there are certainly Bible truths that will apply in some areas of our lives. Thank you for this opportunity. May you bless your word and teach us through your Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, we will all change our calendars tomorrow. Yes, and that will be an easy task. However, making changes in our lives that need changing won't be so easy. Will you make the changes that are necessary, or will you put them off? Folks, I'm here to encourage you today that change is possible. I think our problem with New Year's resolutions, which have to do with change, is that we put ourselves in an aggressive effort, obsessed in the flesh, with outcomes that fail. We're believers, amen? Christians, children of the King of Kings. You can't rely on the flesh. You're going to fail every time. The flesh is what causes us to procrastinate. True story. It is told of an unemployed cleaning woman who noticed a few bees were buzzing around the attic in her home. There were only a few, so she kept delaying to take any kind of action. Over the summer, the bees continued to fly in and out of her attic vent while the unemployed woman continued to procrastinate. Maybe her procrastination was rooted in she didn't have the money to get an exterminator. And the attic was becoming a growing city of bees. Again, this is a true story. The whole attic became a huge beehive, and eventually the ceiling of the second floor bedroom crashed in under the weight of hundreds of pounds of honey and thousands of very, very angry bees. Praise the Lord, though, the woman escaped serious injury, However, she was unable to come up with the finances to repair the damage that was caused by her procrastination. Now, what is procrastination? Solomon talked about it a little bit here, and we're going to look at it somewhat in an expository manner in a minute. Procrastination will always cost you something. So what does it mean to procrastinate? When I first began to do the study, I thought, well, there are some things you can procrastinate about that really doesn't mean anything. You know, if I procrastinate about buying a new shirt or painting something that, you know, I'm just painting it. But then I realized, no, that's not what procrastination means. Procrastination conveys the idea of putting something off that needs to be done, not something that doesn't need to be done, or something that, you know, is minor in getting done. It is something that is important that needs to change. Now, in the Webster Dictionary, it says, there is no positive definition of this word. And I was trying to swing it a little bit that way. It means to put off, to delay, to postpone, to adjourn, to dally, to drag your feet, to defer. And if we're honest and we're transparent before God, there's some things in our lives that we know we need to change. Maybe we waited for the new year so we could feel good about saying, I'm going to change that. I'm going to make a New Year's resolution. We often put things off until tomorrow what we ought to do today. And that is what Solomon is saying here. My son, in verse 1, if thou be surely for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, what he's talking about here is a co-signing a loan with somebody that you don't really trust. It's not a wise decision to make. How many of us have been in that situation? And you know you shouldn't have done it. And the Spirit of God and counsel is saying, get out of it. Get out of it right away. Don't procrastinate. Solomon says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. In other words, you know, you talk the big talk. Yes, I'll sign it for you. No problem, you know. How many of us have allowed our pride to lead us into stupid things, right? And he says, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. In other words, you open your mouth and insert it your foot. And then you realize, I should have never did that. And he says, you are acting irrationally. And then verse 3 is where the idea of get out. Don't procrastinate. He says, do this now. And the Hebrew is very simple, but it basically is saying, immediately, my son, get out and deliver thyself. Don't procrastinate. Go immediately and get yourself out of this. And when thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself. Why do you think he's saying that? Because it was pride that got him in it in the first place. Yeah, you need somebody to sign. No, I'll sign for you. I'm a big man. Sometimes we make stupid mistakes because we don't pray about it. Amen? That's why he says, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Be honest with your friend. Cherish the relationship, but you need to get out of it. Don't give any sleep to thy eyes, he says. In verse 4, don't slumber. Don't wait. Deliver thyself. And then he uses the example of nature. Deliver thyself as a roe or deer from the hand of the hunter. You get the concept. And as a bird from the hand of the fowler. It's about escape. Get out of it. And then he begins to talk about the ants and how wise the ants are. They don't procrastinate preparing for the winter, do they? They're very busy all the time preparing for tomorrow. And he says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Thou, basically, sluggard is saying the lazy person. Consider her ways and be wise. Procrastination is the enemy of change. It's my first point this morning. Change we need, change that we need to make, and we know we need to make, often waits until it has cost us something that we were just not in a position to pay. Mind you, sin, doesn't it? Remember the cliche about sin? Sin will always take you where you don't want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you're willing to pay. Amen? Well, procrastination is a sin. Oh, I don't believe that, Pastor. I'm glad you said that. Stick with me. I'm going to give you a verse from the Bible that proves it. But procrastination is the enemy of change. And God gave us these wonderful proverbs to teach us these truths. And it was the wisest man that ever lived apart from Jesus, Solomon, and he gave us this wonderful proverb on acting now, not later. Because later is going to cost you. Solomon wrote over 3,000 proverbs. He wrote several songs. He wrote books on biology and botany. And so he was a man who was very, very familiar with nature. And nature speaks to us about proper timing. And I love how he uses the ants. The army of hard workers. Doing what they got to do. And they're doing it immediately. The ants don't wait till the snow comes and then says, well, we got to start hoarding up for winter. He is saying through this proverb to us, don't put things off that you know need to be addressed. Do it now. Don't rest until you make the choice to do what you know has to be done. Spare yourself like a gazelle escaping from a hunter, like a bird fleeing from a trap. This particular passage that I shared with you had to do with finances. How often we get ourselves in trouble by overspending. And we decide, well, I'll pay it off tomorrow. And tomorrow never comes. And it just accumulates more and more interest. I'd like to kind of put this passage in the contemporary language and within the culture of today. In the day in which we live, people, many of them that we might know, need to get out of the trouble they're in, but they wait until it's too late. And so I'd like to take a moment to put this in perspective in the day in which we live. The time to get out of addiction is now. Don't keep saying, well, I know I shouldn't be doing this drug or whatever dope it is, or alcohol. You know it, especially if you're a Christian. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That's not the word of pastor, that's the word of God. Get out before it takes you over. Don't keep in that immoral act or relationship. Stop that habit that you know is ruining your life. That bondage that makes you the prisoner. That brings you misery. And by the way, probably brings misery to those around you. If you're involved in that. If you're here sitting and say, well, I thank God I'm not in this. That's what you ought to do, thank God. But if it don't apply, let it fly. But learn from it because there might be somebody you could help with this message. You know where it's posted. Maybe you could say, a friend who you know is an addict, you need to listen to this message that our pastor preached. What I'm trying to say to you this Sunday on the Lord's Day is that as believers in Jesus Christ, change for us is absolutely possible. Some of you might be here, or some that are listening, might be saying as a preacher, yeah, I've tried, but I can't. I've tried over and over and I failed. I want you to listen, and I want you to listen carefully. If there was one objective to the message, this sentence would be it. Change can only come when you have the absolute desire to do so, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Too often, people wait until it's, as it were, too late, or they're rock bottom. And then, at that point, they have an absolute desire because there's nowhere else to go. You've heard it said, when you're at the bottom of the barrel, there's nowhere else to turn but up. But it'll cost you something because you waited too long. And if you're a child of God, change is possible. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, are you applying that? Do you claim that? Because that will get you out of the mess that you're in. So many realize they should stop whatever it is, that immoral relationship. Going to that bar where every night they get drunk, or ingesting a drug, or whatever it is. And there are probably many more that I'm not here saying from this pulpit. The right time to get out is God's time. And a Christian knows when that is because the Holy Spirit tells you. Ephesians 1:13, when you got saved, when you were born again, God gave you the Holy Spirit. That's what happened when Jesus died. He rose again from the dead. Sits at the right hand of the Father. He kept his promise. He said to the disciples, I have to go. If I go away, I will send you the Paraclete. Paraclete is the one that comes alongside and aids you. That is the Holy Spirit. Too often we will respond to these truths by saying, I know the pastor's right. I know, you know, God wants me to, and I'll get to it tomorrow. Mañana. You don't know about tomorrow. Your addiction might get you in jail tomorrow. Your conviction might cost somebody's life tomorrow. Be wise, Solomon said to his son. Be wise. The right time is God's time. Proverbs 27, verse 1, Solomon says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Don't brag about what you're going to do tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You might not be able to do it tomorrow. It was Dawson Trotman, for those who don't know who he is, he became very popular as the founder and the very, very first president of the Navigators. The Navigators is a series of booklets that walk us through the Bible and the doctrines that are in the Bible. Came out many years ago in, I think, the late 70s. There was a statement that he made that I never forgot, and I quote it, the greatest time wasted is the time getting started, unquote. Right? That's so true. How much time do we waste saying, well, you know I got to get that done, I'll do it tomorrow. Procrastination keeps people from getting saved. You know how many times I've shared the gospel with individuals. I can think of one right off the top of my head. It was at a funeral home. And the fellow said, "Pastor, I know you're right, but I can't make that decision now." It was as if he was saying, "I'll do it tomorrow." Let me ask you this. This is what I asked him. Can I ask you when you're going to die? Because it's too late then. We assume upon God, presume upon Him that we have tomorrow. There are no guarantees. The Bible tells us to seek the Lord while He may be found, Isaiah 55:6. Call upon Him while He is near. Are you saved? I trust that you are. God loves you. He loves you with an undying love. He loves you with an unconditional love. The truth of His love is present in the Bible. The truth of His love is in His church. And the proof of His love is in the Bible. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's interesting. Marie Giacino selected that passage for Lewis's funeral card. And her and I did not converse at all, but that was the passage I chose for the funeral message. Isn't God wonderful? He authenticates, substantiates what His will is. His will for His children is don't wait till tomorrow to do what you know the Spirit of God that's in you is telling you to do. The time to change is now, and for every believer, change is possible. And if you're here today and you're not saved, the best time to be saved is right now. You don't know what's going to happen when you walk out those doors. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I believe it's the second verse, yes. "For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time." Now, not tomorrow. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Are you saved? Say, "Well, Pastor, I know I should be saved, but I'll do it tomorrow." You have no guarantee about tomorrow. The time to change is now. You know, many people give no attention or little attention to these spiritual things. They are more concerned with their addiction. "I need my fix. I need that drug, and I need it now. I need it to survive today. I need it to succeed today. I need it for my pleasure." And if you're a Christian, you cannot tell me the Spirit of God isn't in you telling you, get out. Because He is. And if you don't hear that, then you better re-examine whether or not you're born again. Go read Ephesians 1:13. Go read Ephesians 4:30. When you get saved, when you're born again, the Spirit of God comes in you. Procrastination is the enemy of change, but it is also the enemy of spiritual growth, both in your life and the life of your church. Procrastination robs you of the opportunity for spiritual growth, greater spiritual growth. Do you know that when we are disobedient to the Word of God, we cannot expect God's hand to blessing on our lives? And I love these people to come around and try to, in their pride, tell them how God's blessing them, and you know they ain't living for the Lord. I mean, I'm not here to judge, but you know what? Common sense is common sense. The Bible is always true. The Bible says, "Let every man be a liar, but let God be true." And if God says something is a sin and wicked, and they're involved in it, how can they say God is blessing them? That's ridiculous. Procrastination robs us of our opportunity for spiritual growth. Because when we are disobedient, we cannot have the hand of blessing on our lives. So let me ask you, what are you putting off that's robbing you from your spiritual growth? Let me say this, there may be something you ought to be doing that you can grow in your faith that you're not doing. And I said to you earlier that procrastination is a sin, and I could back it up with the Bible. In James' epistle, chapter 4, verse 17, we find this. I quote, "Therefore to him," and that implies, you know, the word there, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is anthropos, meaning anyone, humanity, "to anyone that knoweth to do good and doeth it not." Now, if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, right? Does the Holy Spirit tell you to do good or to do bad? If you're doing bad, doesn't the Holy Spirit say, get out? Doesn't the Holy Spirit tell you, don't do it? Doesn't the Holy Spirit tell you to change? But you ignore the Holy Spirit, and that's grieving the Spirit of God. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. Thank you. A few of you knew that. You know what the right thing to do, because the Spirit of God is telling you. You know, all of us have different areas where we procrastinate. The scenarios be different for all of us. But I do believe that when we are challenged by the Spirit of God to get out, that we ought to be obedient. It's to our benefit and our profit. Now listen, I know this is a difficult message, but the Lord laid it on my heart. And this wasn't the sermon I was going to preach. But then the Lord laid on my heart that what better sermon for a new year? Because a lot of people are going to make these New Year's resolutions. They're going to mean nothing. But as a Christian, change is possible. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I'm asking you to search your heart, to search your own heart today, and know you can change. We find ourselves saying at times, I know my spiritual life or growth would be better if I was obedient to doing the things that the pastor is saying God wants me to do from the Bible. Be involved in a Bible study. Be involved in a church prayer meeting or Sunday school. And sometimes I talk to people and they say, yeah, I know I should, and I'll do it tomorrow. Or I want to serve the Lord in the church, but I'm busy. Or I plan to begin tithing my income, but I just haven't gotten around to it yet. Well, I'm going to help you with that round to it. In the church track rack, there's a card that says to it. And it's in a round circle. All you need to do is to get up scissors, cut it out of the card, and you'll have a round to it. Okay? Put it in your pocket to remind you, to remind yourself that you need to get around to it. Okay? So it's no excuse when people say, I got to get around to it. I'm offering free round to it. Plenty of them in the rack, and there's more where they came from. So procrastination is the enemy of change. Procrastination is the enemy of spiritual growth. And procrastination is the enemy of your success. You are a Christian. You are born again. You can have success. Because God desires for you to have spiritual success. Amen? But Jesus said, I have come that you might fail? No. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. And that you might have it more what? Abundantly. But Christian maturity will take effort. And that is where we fail. Let's be honest with ourselves as we approach a new year. We fail because we don't want to invest the time. We'd rather be home, you know, watching some program on TV, The Bachelor, or whatever those crazy shows are. Then come to prayer meeting. It takes effort. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote his first epistle to the church at Corinth, a church that was waning in its spiritual growth. In the 15th chapter, the 58th verse, he said, therefore, in other words, when you read what I said prior to this, apply this. Therefore, my beloved brethren. So we know he's talking to Christians. And I'm talking to Christians. He said, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Oh, let's stop there. Are you faithful to church? Are you faithful to growing in your relationship with the Lord? Are you faithful in serving the Lord? Be honest. Every one of us are called to serve. There's no excuse. He says, be steadfast. You know what steadfast means. Stay at it. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. And you know what? God sees it. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, God's going to deliver you. But you can't just come to Bible study or church once or twice and say, oh, that doesn't work. You know, I think back to when I first got saved. I think I went to church, Linda, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe 3 months, maybe. And then I kind of backslide. And then I became the old Tony again. I didn't like the old Tony. And my wife didn't like him either. And God had to spank me. But it was for my benefit, for what God does, he does for our benefits. But I am here to tell you today, you can change. If you're struggling with an addiction or you're troubling with your spiritual growth, you can change. Be steadfast. And thank God for the core group of our church, for the core group at prayer meeting, core group of Sunday school, because these are the people that are steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And when the trouble time comes, the Spirit of God is strong in them. And this is why a lot of Christians fall prey to addiction. Because they say, well, I'm a Christian. How come I'm having these problems? Because you're not feeding the Spirit within you. If you ignore the place of spiritual growth, if you ignore the place of the power of prayer, if you neglect your relationship with the Lord, you will not grow in grace, you will not grow in endurance, and you will not be an overcomer. And so don't blame God. You will not overcome addiction. You will not overcome sin. You will not overcome the troubles that are in your life. You need to be faithful to those things that grow the Spirit within you. I'm going to say this. I'm almost done. Only as you mature in your relationship with Almighty God, with the Lord, will your life be filled. Listen to me, because this is the way to escape the addictions, the troubles, and the trials. Only if you mature in your relationship with the Lord will your life be filled with spiritual maturity and power. And that's exactly what you need to overcome addiction. That's exactly what you need. Why do you think ministries like Transformation Life Center are so successful? I've compared them many times to secular institutions, you know, those 28-day revolving doors, because these individuals are bathed in the Word of God. They are bathed with Christian fellowship. They make them spiritually strong. So they have Christian maturity and they have the power of the Holy Spirit. And so many of them, they leave that place. And you know what? So many of them, Brother Ivins told me, have come back to work at TLC or other Christian ministries. They get involved in churches. They're some of the best servants of the Lord in the churches. Listen. What I'm telling you is God's honest truth. It is that power that comes from God's Spirit to overcome the trials, the tribulations, the sin in your life. And that is where real change is made. You know, the Bible has verse after verse that conveys these truths. 1 John 4:4, some of you know this. John says, listen, you belong to God. You, if you're born again, you're a child of God. You are of God, little children. And you have overcome them. And I think we could replace them with the things that, you know, kind of hinder us. The things that enslave us. He says, you can be an overcomer because greater is he that is in you. Who's in you? Holy Spirit. Are you growing that relationship? Or is it hit and miss? I'll come to church, you know, maybe once every other month. I'll come to prayer meeting maybe once a year. I'll do a Bible study once in a great while. That's not being steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the grace of God. As you begin a new year, I'm done, promise. But one more paragraph. I should say, as we begin a new year, we may be painfully aware that we have something in our life to change. You know, now I'm going to make it personal, where you have failed others, you know, where you have failed yourself, and most importantly, where you have failed the Lord in various ways. I'm so thankful for our God. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Lord Jesus will not berate you. The Lord Jesus will not humiliate you. But he will ask you to examine your heart and to examine your commitment to him. You know, Jesus does not need your New Year's resolution. Did you know that? He don't need your New Year's revolution. He don't need your promise to try harder. If you could not resolve to obey the Lord last year, it will not help you to make a resolution to be faithful this year. You've got to make a decision. Are you going to be obedient to God first? Amen? In conclusion, do you know what the Lord wants from his children? He asks us for our love, our commitment. And don't you think he'll give you what you need? If you're struggling with this, go home and read Matthew chapter 6. The summarizing verse of that chapter is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness. And all these things, whatever it is that you need, shall be added unto you. You need deliverance? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. You won't get this information from the world, but you're getting it from Jesus in the Bible. And if you truly love him, your devotion, your service for him in the new year, it will become of a quality that he deserves and that blesses him. It will bless our church. God loves you. And he desires for you to grow spiritually. He desires for you to overcome whatever it is that's keeping you from a deeper relationship. Because change is possible. Let's have our heads bowed as we close in prayer. Father God in heaven, at this time where the year comes to a close, we recognize that we think about our failures, our successes, we think about our regrets, and we think about the promises that we're going to make for the new year. But, oh God, I submit to you that I surrender to you. Ask you to lead me in everything. And, Father, by your grace, lift our eyes to see what is to come. We are putting our burdens on you at the end of this year because we know you care for us and you can work powerfully through your Holy Spirit in us. We thank you for your devotion to us. Bless us now as we leave. May you bless us with a good new year, one that is a testimony to your power. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We're going to close with just one stanza of, get the page number for you. 386, it's a good question in the hymn, have you any room for Jesus? If you don't, you won't have the success to change. Let's stand. We sing the first stanza.